You're tuned into Desperate, a podcast where two unwed women take a walk down Wisteria Lane to visit ABC's critically acclaimed show, Desperate Housewives. Retire your apron, kick off your heels, and sit back. Hit it, girls!
Hello, and welcome to Desperate. I'm Julia.
And I'm Jordan.
And this is a podcast where two unwed women take a walk down ABC's critically acclaimed show, Desperate Housewives, to recap every episode and do an in-depth analysis about what it means to be in the domestic life, mm-hmm. as we are nowhere near that. No. It is completely foreign. So each episode, we take you through one episode of Desperate Housewives. We rate it on several scales at the end. And we also, before we dive in, we do a little segment called Desperate Deeds, where we get you warmed up and talk about some desperate deeds in society, pop culture, our own lives. We have not exhausted that yet.
No, we have thoroughly embarrassed ourselves and we plan to continue.
Yeah, and we'll give you a little bit of rundown of what's going on in the ladies' lives before we jump into our current episode, just so nobody's lost. But you might be lost. Yeah. Like, if you haven't been watching along, it's still full of drama. It's still a good time. You can watch along on Hulu or Amazon Prime through IMDb database. Yeah, IMDb. And yeah, if you have that premium subscription, you don't get commercials. I still have commercials on mine. I kind of like it. It gives me a break. Cool. Yeah, you're more than welcome to just listen and never watch a single episode.
Mm-hmm. I do recommend looking up the characters just so you have like a visual, but
yeah, that's about it. And on our Instagram, we post a lot of fun stuff each week that goes along with these episodes. We tweet every episode live or when live to when we watch it.
Yeah.
And we have an email, website. Hit us up, chat us up. We love hearing your stories, your feedback. Other than that, we today are recapping episode 4, season 2, and it's called My Heart Belongs to Daddy.
I don't love that title,
but that's okay. I just don't like the word daddy.
I like it used outside of like a, I mean, I don't know. Whenever I hear it, I'm just like,
I wish it hadn't been invented, to be honest. Yeah. Like, some people have a problem. Like, I use it in jokes. I use it in like sexual jokes, like with my friends or, you know, whatever. But I would never seriously call my own father that.
Never.
I feel concerned.
When I see kids, little girls especially, call their dad daddy, I start to worry. I get concerned. And I know that's in my own mind and bad. And I'm sorry, world, but I hate it.
Or like if you went out home to meet a guy's family and he calls his dad daddy. I feel like
that's what they do in the South, though, actually.
Oh, really?
That's a weird thing. Everybody calls their dad daddy. And I was like, it was very, I was not used to that. It threw me off.
We don't do that here.
No, we don't do that here.
Yeah, I don't like the word. It's like the word moist for some people or whatever other words they have problem with. Daddy would be my word.
Yeah.
So My Heart Belongs to Daddies.
Just to we're not saying the title of the episode anymore.
That's what we're watching today. Last episode, we were left on a couple cliffhangers per usual.
Yes.
What was going on with Gabby?
Okay, so for Gabby, sorry, let me pull that up.
Carlos here is still in jail. He has not gotten out.
Yes, so Carlos is in jail. And then, so Gabby sees that John is, like, trimming some other hedges, if you know what I'm saying. Or know what I mean. No, he is fucking other MILFs, but not really MILFs, just older women, I guess.
I wouldn't call her a MILF.
No.
Not just a MILF on the lane.
No, I think we called her a broad.
We did call her a broad.
She's a broad. And I mean that in a very nice way. I hope to be abroad someday. But he is, like, fucking these ladies that he gardens for. I guess that's his new shtick. He prostitutes himself. But she gets, like, pissed and she, like, fucks up this lady's yard by cutting all the rose bushes, I guess. And John, like, shows up and he's like, what the hell? Like, why would you do that? And to be fair, she's confusing the fuck out of John. Like, I'm not going to lie. I'm going to give it to him on this one because it's, like, She is pulling him left and right.
I'm going to give it to him on this one, but I also think he needs deep psychological help at this point.
No, yeah, I think that he's like, she ruined him.
She fucked him up.
She ruined him. Yeah,
and then it's also still playing with his emotions, even though I don't know how pregnant she is because she doesn't look that pregnant. So I can't say she's been stringing him along for months. I don't know when Carlos went to jail. We don't have a particular timeline.
Yeah, but she's not showing, you're right. So
she's not showing.
Yeah, but anyway, so she, like, goes and, like, meets Carlos, like, visits him in jail.
At jail.
At jail. Hit new bar.
Instagram handle.
Yeah.
At jail.
And she gives him a card for their anniversary, and basically he's like, our marriage is a sham. Like, why are you doing this? And
yeah.
Like, she's like, what do you mean? And he's like, well, you're unfaithful. And then, he basically, like, berates her and says, like, you don't even feel guilty for what you've done. Like,
and at the time, she didn't until she sees John fucking the girl. And then in the end, she does feel guilty for some reason because John kind of rejected her.
And she gives Carlos, like, a real apology.
And
I'm like,
cries. She cries.
I don't know. I would have taken her apology more seriously if her being spurned by her lover wasn't the reason why she finally felt bad. Like, I don't understand. That was, like, weird. I think we were supposed to read it as romantic. Like, her apology was so heartfelt. But I'm like, it came from the fact that she and John just, like, I don't know.
Yeah, what Carlos weird. Doesn't know.
No,
Carlos what changed his opinion, but he doesn't know. So,
Yeah.
That's where it ended, and I guess they're rock solid for the moment.
For maybe like not. One second.
Yeah, I don't know. They're back in love for the moment.
Yeah.
Okay, with Bree, her mom is still in town, and
mother-in-law.
Oh my god!
It's important because it's okay, Rex's mom.
Yeah, it's very important because this is not Bree's mom.
I'm sorry,
mom.
I don't mean to be that guy.
No. It is mother-in-law. Bree's mother-in-law. Rex's mother is still in town.
Yeah.
She is bugging the shit out of her still, and they're going to the cemetery to pay Rex a nice old visit, and they see that the body is exhumed.
Mm-hmm.
And this starts a whole thing where Bree is like, why is the body being exhumed? And she was like, well, they want to do more tests because they think that he was poisoned.
Yeah.
And Bree is like, how could anybody think that? Like, what the heck? And like, Bree is a suspect because not only is she, not just because she's the wife, but because they knew that they were having marital problems. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody's kind of like, well, that would make sense. Yeah. So they take the body out, they do tests on it, and then they're like, you could also do a lie detector test. And she does the lie detector test, and they start asking about George because Bree's mother-in-law calls the lawyer or, like, the detective and is like, my daughter is dating the pharmacist, George so-and-so, because she sees them have a moment in the front yard. Because George rolled up with the most confidence I've ever seen. He was like, put everything down, I'm taking you out. And she's like, no, I'm mourning.
Yeah, she's like, my husband just died. Wait a month and try again.
Yeah, it was, I mean, he's walking with a spring in his step these days now that Rex is out of the picture.
Yeah.
So Bree's mother-in-law sees that moment, and then she makes the call, and then they're like, do the lie detector test. They are like, are you in love with George? Which is an absurd question to ask on a lie detector test. That is very subjective.
Yeah.
And she doesn't pass that question.
No, she fails it
that's
hard.
Alarming because George, she was getting the ick from George. She was getting hard ick all of season one.
And this now is where I feel like they didn't know where to take this storyline.
Now she's like in love with him and failing a lie detector test. Like, if you were to ask me that question about somebody I clearly like dumped, I would be like, it would be like so true.
Yeah.
It would go from so true. So that happened there. She gets the results back and she is shook. And so she goes to see George in the card aisle at his pharmacy, and they have a little talk, and she says, you know, they think I killed Rex. They think I poisoned him. I had to take this lie detector test, and some of the answers were concerning regarding you. And he's like, what's going on? And like, he finds out basically that she might be in love with him.
Yeah.
And he agrees to take a lie detector test as well. He passes with flying colors because he's a sociopath.
Yes.
And that's where the storyline ends. So Bree is on her own shit.
Yeah. So Lynette's storylines are kind of like almost mirroring last season in that instead of like all the struggles of being a stay-at-home mom, now she's dealing with all the struggles of being a working mom, which I guess we kind of predicted were going to happen. But this storyline specifically, I think, extra leans into that, which is Parker is kind of like super sensitive. I think he's definitely like her little sensitive, like mama's boy.
Parker.
Yeah, he's a mama's boy.
Yeah, he is for sure.
Hardcore. But anyway, he wants her to like take him to his first day of school, but she can't because her boss Nina is quote unquote a bitch when, I mean, I guess kind of.
Quote unquote a bitch.
But she's also like just a working person. Like, I don't fucking know. Like,
I mean, I relate to Nina, but yeah, she doesn't have to be so uptight.
She doesn't have to be so mean about it. But at the same time, like, Lynette, you knew what this job was going to entail. Like, I don't know why you're so surprised. Like, she literally made a point. Nina made a point multiple times when she hired Lynette. You're not going to be able to just leave for your kid's stuff. And then Lynette gets pissed when she can't leave for her kid's stuff.
She's like, I have to leave for my kid's shit. Yeah. Like, every week there's something I have to leave for my kid's shit.
Exactly. So she sets up, like, a video call thing with her son, which, remember, this is 2005 now. So, to be fair, like, this technology is very primitive.
Ancient FaceTime.
Yeah. Yeah. So then, like, she keeps getting pulled into a meeting. So, basically, she fumbles away to have Nita's coffee spill on her. And so
she did some prop work. We gave her Housewife of the Week because, innocently, she got her way again.
Yeah. So. And so, basically, she gets to stay on camera and watch Parker go to school.
Yeah.
And that's the story.
Cute. it was a good storyline because up next, to finish this all off, we have Susan. And Susan's was possibly the worst storyline. Susan is having jealousy issues over Edie and Carl dating, and Edie is a musician all of a sudden, and we also don't know where Edie's son went from episode one. We never hear about him again. Yeah. So Edie is, like, killing it on the guitar while Julie sings a, like, children's song.
I know! Why would they ever sing that?
And they're practicing, and Carl is filming it because now he's a videographer. So this is all happening. And Susan walks in and is like, what the hell's going on with my child having a good time with you guys? Yeah. This is not cool.
Some good wholesome fun.
Yeah. And they're apparently going to do a church sing-along, like, talent contest, and they're going to sing. And Edie's going to help her because Edie is a musician, apparently, lifelong. And
lifelong, wonderful guitar player.
Yeah, and Susan can't handle this, so she spends the rest of the episode attempting to thwart, is that the word? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
Thwart this plan. And by taking piano lessons with the new neighbor, sketchy neighbor, Mrs. Applewhite, taking piano lessons, giving Julie an ultimatum to choose between her or Edie. And then at the end of it all, she is at the church about to perform, and she feels guilty, I guess. She goes to apologize to Edie in front of the entire church, and then they trade places, and Edie eats it on the piano because she's not good at it. Like, she's good at guitar. That's her instrument of choice. And then Julie is all off tune, and it's horrible, and Susan feels victorious. So that is the storyline there.
Fucking Susan.
Horrible.
Embarrassing, Susan. Embarrassing.
Just bad mom move. Just, like, really boring. It's, like, a classic Susan Edie thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mike had his own moment going on because he's above all that, which, like, as time goes on, I'm, like, I keep wondering why Mike is with her.
He, like, fucking loves her.
He's, like, too good for her.
I don't understand why. She's like, neurotic, and it, like...
And it shows.
There's, like, episodes where it's endearing, but then there's episodes like this where it's truly embarrassing as fuck.
Yeah.
Like, her standing up and apologizing to Edie like that was more for herself than for anybody. She's fucking, like, it's just weird. Like, I don't know. Like, it makes me... This is very unlikable Susan. Like,
yeah.
I feel like there's likable Susan and super unlikable Susan, and this is bad territory.
Yeah. So Mike has a moment. He goes to Felicia's house to drop off some flowers. He's still looking up and down the town for Zach.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how big this town is, but they can't seem to find him. And he is talking to Felicia, and he says, do you know where he might be? And she's like, since he beat me, no, I don't give a fuck about him. And she figures out that he's his father. And she asks what happened to Paul, and Mike's like, I let Paul go. And he's like, that's a huge mistake. Bad on you. Mm-hmm. You should have killed him. So that might be the last words we ever hear from Felicia. I don't know. And then at the Applewhites, Matthew, the hot son, is trying to make friends. And his mom's like, no, because people will ask questions. Because they're keeping a prisoner in their basement, a sex slave, potentially. Still, so that's what's going on there.
Mm-hmm.
Good episode. I think we gave it pretty average marks, mm-hmm. if I recall. But
it was fine. It was like a good filler episode, if that makes sense.
Yeah, there was enough going on. Like, we were really feeling Lynette at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Brie is, you know, doing her thing. I don't really enjoy George at the moment, but we'll see what happens.
I'm getting a little fatigued, I feel like, of George.
Yeah.
I think I want to see a little more from the Brie storylines.
Well, we'll see today. Mm-hmm. Before we dive in, we're going to do our desperate deeds.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to go first or shall I?
I'll go first.
Okay.
So, this past weekend, my boyfriend and I were in Palm Springs. And we went to this, like, we had to work, and then we had, like, an event. So, obviously, I didn't want to get all done up for work, because I have to be at work super early, and I was like, fuck that. So, at, like, in the tweener time, we were like, okay, we need to find a place to, like, go do our hair, shower, all that fun stuff. So, we're driving around, we can't find shit, and we see a Planet Fitness, which we used to be members of, both of us, but we're no longer. And we're like, fuck, like, what do we do? So we straight up just snuck in and used their facilities in a desperate attempt to make ourselves pretty. So that was fun. But that was our desperate deed, sneaking into a gym and, like, using it to get ready. And not even, like, a fancy gym, like a fucking Planet Fitness. It was, like,
where everything is, like, purple.
Yes. Low-key, it was, like, a very not great part of town, too. So I'm like, this is really fun. Super fun what we're doing here.
I love it. But I thought it was ratchet as well as desperate.
Well, at first we walked in and I was like standing at the counter. I was like, well, let's like ask, like, what do we do? And he's like, just go. He's like, just go to the bathroom.
I like his we're in here. Tactic. Yes.
Yeah. He's like, just, there's no one here. Like, just go. And I was like, I start like stressing.
I would have been sweating.
Yeah. So I was like, are you sure? So then I'm in the bathroom getting ready. Like, I'm doing my hair. And every time I heard keys,
I wouldn't have been able to stop thinking about it.
Oh, I was really stressed out the whole time.
Mm-mm. I love it, though.
So that was that. We're probably banned.
Yeah,
probably,
you guys have looked good, though, by the end. It was worth it.
It was worth it.
Okay.
So,
I mean, it turned out okay.
As long as it's worth it. Desperate deeds, you know? Like,
yeah.
Are they so desperate if they work out?
Mine is desperate because I don't really take good care of my car, I guess. I try. I just, like, the battery died a month ago once, and I got it jumped.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I'll be fine. But, like, the engine was sputtering every time. And then I should have got it fixed earlier. And then I waited till it died again. And I went to a Pep Boys, which is already desperate on its face. I don't like going to those places. I hate going to the mechanic. I only go to the dealer, and yes, they do overcharge, but at least they don't fucking hassle me,
mm-hmm.
and they don't treat me like I'm stupid because I'm a chick,
mm-hmm.
and, like, yeah. So I go to a Pep Boys because it was convenient and close to where I was, and it was, like, in a nice part of town in Santa Monica, so I was like, it can't be that bad. It mm-hmm. did have 3.5 stars. I should have heeded the warning. but I get there, and there is, like, this dude that I don't know what even was going on with his haircut. It was, like, half bun. It was, like, that shaved all around the sides, but then he, like, bunned the top. Like, there was enough hair on the top that he could put it in a bun.
Mm-hmm.
It was greasy. He was clearly from the South and, like, ex-military. I only learned this because I spent a fair amount of time there.
Mm-hmm.
And he was chatting me up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what his tactic was because he was chatting me up by complaining about people who were calling the establishment. Like, he had to answer a phone call and be like, oh, they're so motherfucking stupid. And then he talked about owning a Mercedes, which I was like, how does this Pep Boys mechanic own a nicer car than me? But whatever. We didn't really get to much more chatting, but I just was like, how long is this going to take? Because I want to go get a coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, come outside with me. And I was like, okay. that's okay because it's outside and I need to go anyway. I want to go get a coffee.
Yeah.
And I see him writing on a business card and I'm like, oh no. And then he comes outside. He's like, this is a little bit unprofessional of me, but if you ever want to go to dinner, here's my number. And I was like,
you're like a little bit unprofessional.
I was like, I just want to go get a coffee.
Yeah.
So then I leave. I put that all behind me because I need to get on with my day. They fixed the battery, supposedly. And then the next morning I'm driving and my engine, like there's just like smoke coming from the hood of my car and I have to stop and I put up the hood and there's like a straight up cap missing and like fluid on my hot engine. And the cap is like sitting on my windshield, like in an area that it was like didn't fall off. I'm amazed because I did drive kind of far before all this happened. And then like, I was just like, so they removed, why were they even removing caps? Like I need my battery replaced and like this whole ordeal. And I started thinking that this man corrupted my car just so I would come back to the Pep Boys the next day, which I did because I was like, I want this replaced. I want the fluid I lost replaced for free. And then he also showed me pics of his child, pictures of his child in a Halloween costume that day, and told me about how his Mercedes is the last of the year it's ever been made. So it's technically only going up in value. Kind of an entrepreneur, you could say. And
I hate this.
It keeps getting worse.
This is just like, getting worse as we go.
Well, I just like wanna, yeah, I was like mad as hell at first. And I was like, but I can't be rude because that's not gonna serve me. So I was very nice, which is why he was showing me pictures of his child.
Yeah.
But I was fuming inside. But also the night of the first, when he initially gave me the card with his number on it, he called me via the Pep Boys, left a voicemail asking if his mechanic had left a flashlight in my car. And in my head, I was like, do you call every person who comes to the, like, who he, like, what? So, Todd, I'm sorry, you're a little bit desperate. I still have your card with your number on it as a memento of that beautiful 2 hours we spent together where you ruined my car. But that's my desperate deed.
Wow.
Yeah, so we hope that you're warmed up.
Yeah, because that was a good one.
That was a lot. It was just a lot to personally go through and also to recount. So we are going to go watch the episode and recap it. And we'll be right back. You can watch it too. But before you do, buckle up.
Buckle up.
Susan helps Mike look for Zach and makes a decision that could change her relationship forever. Gabby hires a handsome and successful new lawyer who has ideas of his own. Bree tries to bring George more into her life, which causes problems with Andrew. Lynette battles against Parker's new imaginary friend for his affections.
I feel like they came at us full throttle with all these relationships suddenly being rekindled. Like, suddenly everybody's dating. Like, Susan and Mike are back together. George and Bree are dating? Like,
what? I don't know what the fuck. No, I felt the same way. Like, the scene with Susan and Mike, did I miss something?
So alarming. I was watching and I'm like, wait, hang on. They're on a date? Like, she's holding, like, the foil duck, which in my life I've never had anything wrapped like that.
I've never seen that ever.
Ever in real life. Never. No, only in movies.
But it's always on, like, Frasier and Seinfeld about that? This. I'm like, where do I go to get the tinfoil duck?
Was that, like, a 90s thing? Like, every restaurant in the 90s was, like, wrap it like a duck.
Yeah, they're wasting all this fucking foil.
Yeah, the foil market was booming. Yeah, it was shocking. I guess they're back together. Bree and George, same thing, same feeling. They're like kissing, and I was like, what?
Yeah.
So a lot's going down this episode, if you have watched it. It's supposedly about fathers. I didn't pick that.
According to Mary Alice, like, drilling it in our heads.
Yeah. Yeah, there was nothing. If you had asked me, if there was no Mary Alice voiceover, I would have been like, this was chaotic.
Yeah, like, but what's the theme?
I would have been like, the girls did stuff, but it was not, like, very paternal.
It was weird.
There were, like, hints of dad. Mm-hmm. Like, when you're drinking a LaCroix, like, there's a nice wine. You're like, there's hints of fruit. Yeah. Like, there was a hint
of dad. Dads that were in the episode.
Yeah. There were. I can confirm there were dads.
Yeah.
So we start off, though, with Gabby. going to visit Carlos at jail. I feel like this is going to be a season-long thing. Like, I feel like they booked a studio to have as, like, the jail where they meet, like, for the whole season. They were like, we're cutting budgets. Like, we can't afford too many
I think about that a lot, actually, when I watch TV shows. I'm like, Desperate Housewives is lucky because Wisteria Lane, they, like, built it.
Yeah.
But, like, other shows I watch and I'm like, yeah, they definitely only had the budget for, like, two sets. And this is what we get.
I have to tell you and warn people, if you have watched the Jake Gyllenhaal movie Guilty on Netflix, don't watch it if you haven't. And if you have, you understand that they made it in 19 days. And it looks like they made it in 19 days.
It's literally
Jake Gyllenhaal in one room taking different phone calls for an hour and a half. That is the entire movie. Entire movie.
What the?
It's horrible. It's not good. He did not act well in it. But yeah, there's a similar vibe going on with Carlos in jail. Sorry, didn't mean to start
no,
on that.
It's okay,
it was relevant.
Yeah, I'm like, whoa.
So the residents of jail looked forward to Tuesday when Gabby came to visit Carlos. The inmates went out of their way to give her attention, whether she wanted it or not.
Mm-hmm.
She is looking really hot, though, I noted. She was coming in with, like, club outfits, like, gold, like, mini skirts, like, barely there tops. So I was like, she was looking hot. I think those guys were just horny and, mm-hmm. you know, incarcerated. So with each of these visits, the accolades became increasingly inventive and, like, guys are rubbing their butts and, like, doing different things. And she was really just not flattered, as women are typically are not when these things happen.
Yeah, that never works.
I mean, people. Sometimes if I'm having, like, a really rough day and, like, I get a whistle, I'm like, oh, all right.
But you're not fucking that person.
No, like, if it's, like, a car, like, the cat call, I'm like, oh, I still got it. Like,
yeah, like, okay.
But she started to dread this attention. And I wanted to say she's a dedicated wife. She's there weekly on Tuesdays. I have not really committed to anything like that in quite a while. So good for her. Mm-hmm. She starts requesting a conjugal visit with her current lawyer, though. And this lawyer is like, no. And I feel like, why is he sex shaming her? I don't know. And
he's such an asshole.
He calls it a booty call. He's like, I'm not here so you can get a booty call. And he's like, no. And she's like, you work for me and you're going to make this happen. He says, mm-hmm. I don't have to. I'm not your maid or your gardener. And I'm like, oh,
he fucking
shit.
Came for her.
She gives him the slap that he deserves mm-hmm. and he calls her a crazy bitch. And an inmate, like, pokes him, like, hits him with, like, a baton.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why they're
like
giving
a broom. I don't know.
I don't know what they're giving them. I don't know why they're giving inmates these items.
I know. It's a fucking weapon.
But they basically start beating him with batons through the fence because they love Gabby.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just trying... The lawyer's like, he's just trying to do his job. And she's, like, sorry that she's horny. They beat the shit out of him. And it occurred to Gabby that them protecting her was the nicest compliment that she'd ever received. And I was like, oh, it's cute. So hopefully in my future with my future incarcerated husband, I get the same treatment. After that, Mary Alice Young has like a little bit of an intro. She says there was one thing all the dads on Wisteria Lane had in common. They could all return home to their families after a day of work and not feel guilty about the precious moments they missed. And I'm like, okay, so when Lynette does it, it's like different. Like, she doesn't feel bad about the moment she missed. I don't know. I just felt like it was a little bit, like, okay, like, maybe sexist.
Yeah.
Sadly, the same cannot be said for working mothers. Lynette was, like, sneaking into her house and the kids are asleep. And Lynette is complaining that she's missing out. Tom's like, no, I have dinner ready. And he's looking like he got back from, like, a wild vacation in Mexico. He's, like, very tan. He's, like, has a 5 o'clock shadow. Like, Tom is looking a type of way that I haven't seen.
I like his stay-at-home
dad
look.
Oh, I love it. But I was like, oh, like, what's happening mm-hmm. here? So he has dinner ready for her. And there's, like, a plate on the table and it's cold. It's a lot. It's a heaping sum of pasta.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, no, that's not for you. It's for Mrs. Mulberry. And we're introduced to something we're going to hate this episode. And he's like, no, yours is hot. He pulls it out of the oven. And she's like, why does Mrs. Mulberry get more than me? Because Mrs. Mulberry is an imaginary friend of Parker's.
Who's basically Mary Poppins.
And get ready because this is what it's about with Lynette.
This is the whole episode.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Tom says Parker's having trouble adjusting, and I guess so are you. So my note is Tom is looking so rugged. He hasn't showered or shaved for days, I guess.
Nope. And he's reading parenting books, and yeah, he's thriving.
Yeah, he mentions a parenting book that this is normal, mm-hmm. like it shouldn't be a problem. Apparently it's been going on for weeks, I want to say. A week?
Yeah.
And Lynette's like, a week? Yeah. And she like freaks out. She's like, mm-hmm. that's too long. Like she invented parenting.
This is where the timeline gets wonky, though, because it's like, how pregnant is Gabby, and how long has Lynette been at her new job?
I have no idea, because Gabby is not showing, and...
But Lynette seems like she's been there, a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell's happening with that, but we're going to start with Lynette, because that's where we kind of drop in here. Yeah. So, after that, Lynette is going crazy, just like she did it with the nanny. She's jealous of the imaginary friend, and that is the whole storyline.
Yep.
Lynette wakes up to get Parker donuts before she goes to work. And she's like, we're going to go get donuts. And Parker, like, doesn't give a fuck. No. And Mrs. Mulberry has this umbrella that Parker takes everywhere with him to, like, signify the imaginary friend. Mm-hmm. And I noted that they must have a lot of bad luck because he's opening this umbrella inside like nobody's business. Bad luck.
Maybe that's why Nina's so mean.
Yeah. Parker ruined it. And so, yeah, she wakes him up. He's not down. And then they get in the car, and he's still not down. And she's reversing. He's like, wait, we forgot Mrs. Mulberry. And Lynette is like, whatever, she doesn't want donuts. And then he's like, no. And so she plays along, and I'm like, okay, good on you, Lynette.
She's trying.
Then she tries to back out again. He's like, no, the umbrella. And then Lynette goes inside and finds a hat, and Parker's like, no, we can't go without the umbrella. The hat's not enough. And, like, she's like, where's the fucking umbrella? She's losing it.
She's, like, going insane.
I mean, this was realistic. Like, I feel like this was a warranted response. But then Parker says, oh, it's in the shower. She's like, well, why didn't you just tell me it was in the shower? And then Parker gets pissed and, like, gets out of the car. And I said, this kid is stupid. I would have never gotten out of the car. If we were going to get donuts, like, there was no way I was going to, like, get out of the car.
Yeah, he must really hate. He's got some mommy issues now.
Yeah, so after that, Lynette's at school, at a teacher conference. And I guess Parker assaulted a teacher because
they wouldn't set up a desk for Mrs. Mulberry.
Yeah. I would say Lynette cries here.
She does.
And pretends that there's, like, a family thing going on. Right?
She doesn't even say anything. She just cries.
She just starts sobbing, and I feel like it was fake sobbing, if I'm correct.
I don't know, because they didn't, like, end the scene. The scene just kind of cuts, and I'm like, I was waiting for something to happen.
Unexplained tears are there. I said everyone, including me, is uncomfortable in that scene. All the teachers are like, what the fuck?
I thought she'd at least say something. I don't know. It was a very weird scene.
Yeah. So after that, her and Tom are talking. They're, like, trying to game plan it. She didn't imagine it would, like, upset Parker, her going back to work. And Tom doesn't give a fuck. And he makes a joke. He said he should get used to daddy supplying all the love. And I was like, ew, but also, okay.
That was a weird comment.
It was weird.
Like, I feel, I don't even know what to say about it. I just remember I was kind of taken aback. I was like,
okay. Yeah. And Tom's like, well, we need money. So, like, you have to work. Like, one of us has to work. And, like, you decided it would be you. So, like, that's that on that. And Tom read that. Oh yeah, this is he's reading parenting books. Tom read that hugs can make it better, and then they hug in the kit. Like, Tom is being husband number one. I don't know about dad number one.
I would say he's dad number one, because I think he's like, okay, I do think he's indulging his son a little bit with this imaginary friend, but like, he is being like very understanding. He's like, no, this is a big change. Like, it's fine that he's coping. Like, I don't know. I feel like Tom's a little too nonchalant, but not, like,
Tom is psycho. Unbothered by this.
Yeah, he's like, I like her. I like Mrs. Mulberry.
Yeah, he's like, whatever, gets me through the day.
That's who he has an affair with, is imaginary Mrs. Mulberry all day long.
Yeah, he's like, whatever, being a stay-at-home dad. He's drinking beers at 2 p.m.
He still doesn't have to shave his face. He's living.
Looking good. So that's, like, where they end up together. They just kind of, they don't really come up. There's no resolution to any of this, the whole episode, until the end. Lynette decides to throw the umbrella out because she's that jealous of the imaginary friend. She can't get over it. Mm-hmm. And then the garbage truck comes and the umbrella falls out accidentally. And then Parker wakes up and is like, where is the umbrella? Where is Mrs. Mulberry? And she's like, I don't know. Guess she had to help some other boy. Yeah. And like Lynette is feeling herself as
she
a mother.
She's real clever.
She thinks she's so smart. And then they go outside and the umbrella's in the street. And Parker's like, oh my God, there she is. And then a truck runs over it. And Tom is like, maybe we can call 911. And Lynette's like, nah, we're good.
Yeah, and that's she's like, no, she's dead.
Yeah. So like, sad. So sad. Like, it was just not, like, I don't know. I just don't like this Lynette when she's super jealous of, like, stupid things. And, like, the whole episode is about her just being jealous and, like, crazy.
Like, this is where I'm like, she seems like a cool mom sometimes, and she's like a fucking Karen half the time.
This was crazy behavior. Yeah. I feel like I'm a jealous person sometimes, but I can't imagine being this jealous of something that doesn't fucking exist. With my child when I'm a tired working parent. Like, yeah. Why do you have the energy? Lynette has too much energy, I think.
I think she does too. She's very manic.
She's very like, I need to do stuff. Like, I don't know. She's got a complex, so... That's what happens with her. I think Gabby is my second, like, what we should hit on second here. Because okay. Hers also is just, like, hints of dad, if any at all. No, yeah. I would say there's no dad.
There's
there.
No dad.
Yeah, so next we're going to talk about Gabby, where there were no hints of dad. There was no dad at all.
No, not a lick. They could have at least made this episode about her being pregnant, but it wasn't. Like, I was like... Anything.
Anything. Like, they were like, the theme is going to be dad light.
Yeah.
My notes start, Carlos is mad that Gabby is hot.
Basically.
He's like, you incited a riot. Mm-hmm. And they lost the lawyer. They lost the lawyer is the biggest issue here.
Well, and he's mad because the lawyer was like friends with the judge and stuff.
Yeah.
So they thought that this lawyer was going to like.
Slam dunk it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she brings up that he denied a conjugal visit. And everybody is sex-shaming Gabby. Carlos is like, so we lost our lawyer because you wanted to have sex. And she says our marriage is on shaky ground. And, like, it couldn't hurt to have some sex. Because, mm-hmm. like, our relationship is arguing. But when you were out, like, at least we had sex. And, like, that made it better.
Yeah.
And I was like... All right, so that's what we have for the defense. Like, and there's no offense because Carlos kind of caves to that, mm-hmm. that they should find a new lawyer and get a conjugal visit.
Yeah.
And because Carlos says, okay, like, get a new lawyer, make it quick. And he, like, gives a smirk. So that's her mission this episode, getting a new lawyer. And that's where we meet David Bradley, who you will know is on our hot or not list. Hot or not Instagram posts.
Yeah.
You can vote. We want to know, is David Bradley hot or not?
And you know what's hard? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
Like, sometimes?
Sometimes,
like, in the right light?
Yeah, like, but then other times I'm like...
He's gross. Personality-wise, he's gross. Let's just say that. Yeah, he's the most successful lawyer in Fairview. He hooks up with all the girls who ask him for help. Mary Alice Young does this little, like... cutesy thing. Arguments were persuasive, mm-hmm. manners forceful, and he's like feeling up all these different chicks and stuff. Yeah. And like he tended to win on appeal. And when it came to challenging cases, he made a point to raise the first objection. So he's like, I'm not gonna take your case, Gabby, because he's trying to sleep with her.
Yeah.
And then he gets a call that his date was canceled. They go back and forth.
It's like very uncomfortable flirting.
Yeah. I don't like, was it flirting? I don't really know. She's actually not into it for once, it seems.
But it almost seems like she's being like purposely oblivious or something. I don't know. I was like very like, he clearly wants to fuck you. Like I would have walked out at that point.
Yeah.
Like all the pushback, I would have been like, all right, I'm just going to go find someone else.
Yeah, because he tells her your marriage is doomed. Like, I can give you the number of a divorce lawyer, but I can't help you. And
it was just weird. If I were her, I would have been like, all right, bye, weirdo. Yeah, like, you're weird.
Yeah.
Like, this is weird.
You're a weird motherfucker.
Yeah, like, what?
Yeah, he says, maybe next time you'll marry smarter. Like, you're young, you made a mistake. Like, he's just being a dick. Mm-hmm. And she's like, well, have fun eating alone. And like, dips. David calls her and says he wants to make it up for their first meeting. Yeah. But then he calls her marriage a train wreck yet again. So this is all on a message. This is where he says he'll give them a divorce lawyer. So Gabby goes to his office then, looking obscenely hot. Like, her tits were out. It was like a J-Lo out. Like, it was just out. Like,
these clothes are so whack, but she did look good.
She looked hot. I mean, no one in their right mind would wear that day to day.
That was just like a weird period, too, where everyone was wearing like very structured clothing.
Yeah, it was like a corset.
It was just like that weird, very thick, like satin material. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I'm like, it doesn't look comfy at all.
So her tits were out, and she's like yelling at him and like, he tells her it's inappropriate to be there. She's like, you're making assumptions about my marriage. He offers her a drink, which is, like, crossing a huge line.
Yeah.
And she's like, I like to keep a clear head when I'm telling people off. Also, I'll bring it up when it comes up. And he talks about how Carlos is sketchy, that his record speaks for himself. They just go back and forth. And then... he's like, a quickie in prison won't do it. And I did note David is kind of hot here. I don't know why. Maybe that says something about me. I will decide for myself what needs to be scratched and when. He calls her hot and you could do better. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, are you after all of this that I just went through? I know it was exhaustive. Sorry to do a play by. That wasn't even a play by play. That was light.
Yeah, that was light.
She says, are you hitting on me?
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, bitch, like, you know, like, you're smarter than this. Like, you know.
And he says, what would you say if I were? And she goes, I'd say that I'm pregnant. You guys, she's still pregnant. Let's not forget.
This is the moment where I went, oh, yeah, we knew that.
I'm pregnant. Well, I was going to say when we were talking about how, like, skinny that halter top was, like, her outfit. I'm like, oh, she's, yeah, you guys, she's pregnant as hell. So, yeah, that's where they end up. And he ends up taking her case. I don't get it, but it happens.
So. Well, and she gets the conjugal visit.
Yeah, then she gets it, and they have 40 minutes. They call every 15 to make sure they're still there. Mm-hmm. I don't know how an actual conjugal visit works. I don't imagine it being this way, but maybe. And there's no hint of dad in there.
Nope. She doesn't even call him daddy, nothing. I'm like, give us anything to fit this thing.
Well, I guess she says, after they fuck, you're going to be a daddy. You'll need to get a job and make a good living for me and our child. And he's like, when I get out of here, everything's going to be different. And then they talk about the lawyer a little bit, and then she fucks him again. So, yep. Yeah, she's like, let's not talk about the lawyer that hit on me.
She's like, priorities.
Yeah. So Gabby, interesting story. I liked it. We'll talk more when we review it, but I liked it more than Lynette, I can say at this point. Next, we can talk about another shocker in our relationship world of Bree and George suddenly being together.
Yeah, so this storyline opens with them, like, getting back from a date or hanging out, I guess, right?
Yeah, first note on all caps, I guess that Bree and George are back, are dating.
I guess, because they come back from a date and they're out there talking, like, that awkward small talk you have when you're debating whether you should kiss somebody or not.
Yeah.
But it, like, she, like, kisses his forehead in a very, like, maternal way. Which was
disgusting.
It was very off-putting. And then, like, Andrew sees them out there talking and, like, kind of comes and, like, makes it awkward. He's, like, being weird. And he's just like, she already said, like, you know, I'm tired or whatever. Like, that was time for you to go. And then George is like, well, I'll go, like, you know, when I'm ready to go. Like,
and Bree is like, but I do actually want you to go.
Yeah. And then he, like, they plan another date, which is, like, him coming over to dinner on Friday. And then Andrew starts, like, picking at him and then, like, actually pushes him.
Yeah.
And George is like, I'm not going to hit a kid, but then, like, pushes back. And they almost start fucking brawling.
Yeah, I said George is looking weak as fuck.
Yeah, like, it was embarrassing for him. And then Andrew and Bree, like, have this little, like, talk in a later scene, and she's like, you're gonna be free on Friday, right? And
well, she has a problem with his very 2021 ripped shirt. He has like a Gucci, like, it's got those, like, but it had like holes in it, like, you know that style that's like rut, like, whatever, like, torn. Yes, yeah. That's what it was. And she's like, can't believe you're wearing that.
So she likes to put him on a fucking button up. I'm like,
Oh my God, embarrassing.
Yeah, I'd be like, Mom, polo at least. Jeez.
All of his friends are like, why do you dress like that?
So embarrassing. But yeah, so she basically blackmails him and she's like, if you don't come to this dinner, like, I'm not paying your entry fee for the swim club that you now have to join because I got you kicked off the high school team. She didn't say that part at the end, but that is
what's
happening.
Even think of that. I was like, okay, he has to pay for this swim meet. Okay, whatever.
Yeah. And so then, like, Andrew's basically like, okay, like, if you're going to blackmail me, like, whatever. So he's there and he's like being super nice to George at this dinner. And
for a second.
At first. And like Brie like notes that to Danielle, and Danielle's like, yeah, that's weird as fuck. Like, Andrew's never like that. And then Andrew like basically starts talking to George about what his mom is like in bed, and he's like, yeah, like, I heard like her and my dad have sex. And
well, he also shames George. He's like, have you ever been with a woman?
Yeah, he's like, just based on the way that you are, I would guess not. And George is like, clearly has not been with a woman, and it was very uncomfortable. But then Andrew is like, mimics what his mom, like, the sound his mom makes when she climaxes, as they say in the episode, which is, I don't love that word.
Like, that's the word you use with your doctor.
Yeah.
It's not what you use.
It's very, like, medical. So then she, like, Brie brings out the dessert, and she, like, goes really in-depth about the fact that they're missing one of their dessert plates because it's, like, this rare China piece that she can't
find. I, like, ignored it at first. But completely this comes back around. I said, Brie is blabbering.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, Brie, shut the fuck up. Then she takes a bite of her cobbler and does the moan that Andrew talked about. And Andrew, like, points it out to George. And then George, like, freaks the fuck out, stands up and yells, go to your room.
Yeah, he had an overreaction. I do have to say, Brie did the exact, like, thing that Andrew did. It was, like, identical. And, like,
it was so, it was identical. That was a good,
yeah.
It was a bit strange, though. I don't know, even if I'd ever heard my, like, you gotta be a weirdo to, like, imitate your parent.
I would never.
Like,
that.
Like, I don't care what the scenario is. What the fuck? But basically, Bree's like, if you want me... Oh, no. So George, like, tells Andrew to go to his room and then tries to get Brie to back him up. And Bree's like, I'm not going to punish my child if I don't know why, like, what's happening. Because she didn't hear, obviously, Andrew say all that stuff. So then, like, George kind of, like, chickens out and just leaves. And it's really strange. But then... and that's kind of just where it ends. So then, like, the next day or whatever fucking day it is, they're sitting outside, like, it's 1925, having, like, afternoon tea. I don't even know.
Like, it's 1925.
It's very weird. Yeah. And they're eating fucking watermelon, I guess, like, being wholesome as fuck.
It was very Southern.
It was weird.
Very was like, Southern 1920s.
Yeah.
Like, rich, white,
I waspy. Was, like, waiting for the slave they owned to come bring them more lemonade.
Honestly, yeah. It was an interesting scene. Yeah. Choice.
So, basically, Brie tells them that they shouldn't date. At least not right now, because she needs to focus on her kids, specifically Andrew. Which, you know what?
He didn't even do shit.
But she's right, though. Like, their dad died a month ago. Like, that's traumatizing.
Okay, for real, though.
Like, yeah. Brie is not spending enough time on the grief process, and not just for herself, but, like, for her kids.
Yeah.
Because her kids weren't part of all that drama. They just lost their fucking dad.
Yeah, like, and she's over here, like, I'm gonna date the pharmacist. Yeah. I'm actually in love with him. I failed it on a lie detector test.
Like, she's like, I don't give a fuck that he made you, like, dominate him, Brie, like that. Your kids don't have any opinion on that. Like, yeah. They just, I don't know, it's very weird that she's just now realizing this. So George basically says he understands, but then, like, kind of, like, starts asking about Andrew and asks about, like, when he went to Camp Hennessy and, like, just, like, about his behavioral issues. And Brie was like, well, this wasn't, like, a big enough issue, because she now knows, like, what Andrew said.
Yeah.
And she's like, I feel like what he did isn't big enough to, like, ship him off to, like, an extreme camp.
Yeah, before, didn't he, like, literally hit his mom or something?
He spit on her. No, that's when he was getting taken away.
On
her, he spit
but
on
I
her.
Think he assaulted her as well.
He pushed her, and then that's when Rex stepped in.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, and he, like, tripped her and shit.
Rex's hottest moment ever.
Yeah, the only time I was, like, down.
Damn.
But then, like, Brie says, like, she'll only send him Andrew back if he, like, gets to that point again, which just makes the wheels start turning in good old George's head. So Later, we cut to the swim meet that was mentioned earlier, and they really went all out to make sure everything was, like, mentioned previously.
So yeah.
They don't bother to mention that Brie and George are dating, but they bother to mention this. George shows up to the swim meet, and he has, like, a gift for Brie.
So aggressive. In a box, like, in a wrapped box.
Yeah.
Just, like, chill.
It's, like, put it in a bag. It's a little easier to put
away. Just be, like, a little bit more chill and don't, like, bombard her at a swim meet for her son where you're not invited.
Well, I mean, he didn't give a fuck about the china. That was just a way to get Andrew in trouble.
For sure. But just, like, you're stalking her. Like, yeah. Get out.
So he, like, finds the china plate and, like, gives it to her. And he, like, tries to kiss her, and she's not really into it at all, but that's not the point, folks.
I said George is assaulting her.
Yeah. So what happens and why he did this is Andrew, like, sees it and, like immediately jumps out of the pool and charges George.
And, like, fucking punches him in the face a bunch of times. Yeah. The epic sound effects.
So finally, like, the coach steps in and pulls him away, and then Brie, like, gives Andrew this fucking look. And it ends with Andrew packing his bag.
I know. I said he packs that bag. Yeah. He's packing it. I said George is playing the long game.
George, like, is out for blood. Like,
Andrew is...
I'm, like, a little shook.
Yeah, Andrew is tactical and, like, good at the game. He won a round, but, like, George isn't for that. Like, George will have you mother... George poisoned your father for months.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's in this long game.
Yeah, he is. I don't know why. He killed somebody.
Why is he so obsessed with Brie? Like, she's okay. She's all right.
She's, like, his ideal, though. She's, like, that picture-perfect wife. And if you're into that shit, then yeah.
I guess, yeah.
I don't know, but...
So, that was my favorite. I love an Andrew storyline.
I like... That was probably my favorite, too. And we probably should have ended with it, because Susan's...
Yeah, sorry.
Bonker storyline comes up next.
We just have another Susan fail, and I feel like we're just gonna keep getting Susan fails for, like, ever.
This is, like, truly... I'm gonna say that what she does in this episode is low-key despicable. I kind of get why, but she's super selfish in how she does it, and I guess I'll get to that when we get to it. But.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about it. Like, at the time, I was like, wow. I was like, how could she? But then I was like, thinking about it more, I'm just like, I don't know.
I think she's okay.
I'm like, maybe that was right. I don't know. Like,
I think it's right to keep him away from Julie, but then don't date Mike.
Yeah.
Don't fucking send
him. She needs to make a choice.
Yeah. Like, you can't. We'll get into it.
Like, top line, like, Susan finds Zach and gives him money to go to Utah at her, like, recommendation to look for his dad, Paul.
After he talks about how bad he, like, wants to be with Julie.
Yeah, he does get very stalker vibes with Julie. He's like, oh my God, does Julie still talk about me? And it's like, bro, like, no, you guys are broken up, like, months now. And she made it clear. I don't think Julie could have made it any clearer that she does not like you. You are crazy serial killer vibes. Like, because he was all, that when they broke up is because he joked about shooting people, about killing people.
Yeah.
Like, there's
with
so many
gun that he has.
Yeah. And then tries to kill her mother. Oh, my God. I didn't even think about that. Literally tries to kill her mom and holds her at gunpoint. And then he's like, is she still talking about me? Can I make it up to her? And Susan is, like, top mom and is like, so I'm going to give you this money. I think Paul is in Utah. Like, I can see the sides of it. But at the time, after we take you through it, like, maybe you'll see how despicable it is. It is generally despicable.
I just think, if you're genuinely worried about your kid, like, why give this kid money? Like, you don't know that he's going to go to Utah. Like, what if he decides to come to Wisteria Lane?
What if he decides to get hooked on heroin?
But, like, it was just, like, so short-sighted. I'm like, if anything, reuniting him with, like, Mike's not going to just... Okay, Zach needs help. How is he going to get help? By being with stable adults that get him help.
That can get him into a facility. Yeah. Like, the one he was at that, like, he snuck out of. Mm-hmm. Okay, yes, he should have never snuck out.
But they were just drugging him. They weren't even helping him. That was literally just a way for Paul to keep the truth, down.
True, but he also does need the help that they could
offer.
No,
he does. Yeah. And they could send him now that he knows everything, at least they could send him to a facility. But it was like, I don't know, I'm like sitting there and I'm like, Susan, like, you have so many other options. Like, at least if Mike gets to him, like, he'll be supervised and Mike will probably get him help. Like, what you're choosing to do is not solving any problems, because if anything, now you've just made him mobile.
And it's also going behind your partner's back about something they really care about, something they're desperately searching for, and you are actively refuting that and working against it.
Yeah. So, and why this pisses me off is how the storyline starts is, I don't know, what happened between the last episode and this episode?
With a twin swan.
But they were on a date, and they're kissing. Yeah, they're making out.
Yeah, and then they make it official, because they were just casual before.
Which no one knew what that meant. And Mike's like, well, but this is where I get pissed, though, because Mike straight up says, like, Zach's, we're a package. Like, that's how this is. Like, I have to solve this problem. Like, figure this out. And if you want to be with me, then this is part of the deal. Okay, Susan, he gave you the out.
Yeah, he did. And Susan's like, okay, I'm in.
She goes running after
she
him.
She hug jumps him.
She's like pathetic. I was just like, okay,
what
Susan.
Fuck, I'm in.
But this is how selfish she is. Like, she wants her cake and she wants to eat it too. Like, she doesn't want to fucking, like, okay, you want to sacrifice it all for your daughter? Then do it. Don't now ruin everybody else's lives because you are so selfish.
Yeah, so they're back together because Susan's selfish. Mm-hmm. And yeah, then the next time we see her, she's hanging up missing signs for Zach alone. And Edie, like, harasses her a bit. Mm-hmm. And is like, oh, you and Mike are back together. Like, they talk about it briefly. And, like, Susan gives her a hard time and does call her selfish in a way. She's like, you're just pretending, you're trying to come off as the perfect self-sacrificing girlfriend, mm-hmm. but, like, you're really not. So Edie sees right through this. We are team Edie.
Yeah, no, and now Edie doesn't condemn it, but she does, like, I like that she points it out, and she's like, Susan, like, what you're doing is something I would do, if that makes you feel any better.
Yeah, she talks some shit, and mm-hmm. I liked it. So then we see her hanging up missing signs with Mike now. Like, this is the whole thing, and then, like, they're at a park and Susan ends up getting ice cream because she's tired of handing out the posters and nobody cares. Yeah. And the ice cream guy, she's getting two things of ice cream, like big ass cones. And the ice cream guy is like, oh, this guy, isn't he right over there? And like Zach is just talking to some chick on the bench, like looking a little scraggly. Mm-hmm. And Susan's like, Zach, come here. And like runs after him and gets ice cream all over herself because Zach is faster and stronger. And
because
younger.
Susan didn't think to just set, like, drop the ice cream.
Yeah. So then she finds Mike after this and she has ice cream all over her. And Mike's like, what happened? And Susan's like, oh, and she's about to say it. And then she's like, got ice cream, but then I ate it all. And then, like, they don't talk about how she literally found the missing guy that they're looking for. Then she goes back to the park to find Zach and is like,
well, this is after she talks to Gabby and Bree about it.
Oh, yeah, they have a little powwow.
And Gabby's just like, yeah, he's a fucking freak. So stay away.
I know, I was very into Gabby. She's like, no.
And then Bree's like having flashbacks of Andrew fucking running down Mrs. Solis with his car. And she's like, oh, maybe he just needs help. I'm like, oh.
She's like, I know a camp. Like, no. She doesn't say that. But yeah, they bring in Storm and Susan feels guilty. And then she goes to find Zach. And then she finds Zach and he has a sprained ankle, which is the only reason he doesn't run away. Mm-hmm. And she's like, let me take you out for food. And she takes him out and they're talking. And she's like, we'll get you back. And then she changes her tune when she hears that he's obsessed with Julie, like we said.
Yeah.
So that's the gist of it. And when she gives him the money, she's like, you know what? Like, just the way she went about it, because at first you see her being like, we'll take you back. And, like, Mike's your real... Did she even say it? No, she didn't say it.
There's a lot of people who, like, want to help you and be there for you.
Yeah, and then she's like, I have to take you back, because she wanted Mike to be the one to tell him. She's like, really important information. And then the switch, you see it happen. Like, I do have to give it to Terry Hatcher, good acting, because you see it, like, in her face. She's like, you know, actually, and then the money thing and, like, sending him away, you're like, damn, she really did that. Like, and you know it's going to come to bite her in the butt, though. Like,
oh, it's going to ruin her fucking life. Yeah. You can already tell.
So there's some problems in that storyline.
I just feel like, I get where you're, okay, from, like, in the heat of the moment, I'm like, yeah, she's being a good mom. But she's being a horrible fucking partner. She, like, she can't live like this. Like, I don't know what she's fucking thinking. Like, I just, I don't know. Like, I don't know what her plan was. Like, did she not think that this could happen? Because she clearly did a few episodes ago when she broke it off with Mike in the first place. Like, did she really not think that something like this would happen? And what was her plan at in that instance?
Yeah.
Like, what if she and Mike had found Zach and he starts asking about Julie? Like, what would her, what would she have done then?
Well, Mike would be a fucking, like, adult about it and, like, get him help and be like, yo, Julie's not into... Like, I don't think Mike at any point wouldn't defend. I don't think he wouldn't be Team Susan. Like, in if
see,
Susan,
that's the craziest
if
thing.
Susan was like, I'm really worried about Zach around Julie. Mm-hmm. I'm really worried he's obsessed with her. I'm so worried that something will happen. If she literally just said that to Mike, mm-hmm. I think he'd be like, I understand. That is concerning. If she, yeah. like, outlined the behavior, I don't think at any point Mike would be like, it's a good idea for them to be together. Like, mm-hmm. and so that's what's annoying to me. It's like, she doesn't even talk to, I feel like her and Mike don't even talk. Like,
no, they don't. Like, she... I don't know. You're right. Because I do feel like if Zach ever did anything that made Julie feel uncomfortable, like, Mike would 100% step in. So you're right. It's like, what does Susan
I just think Susan's, like, so in her own world. Like,
but that's her problem, though. Like, get out of... It's not Susan's world. We're not all living in Susan's world. And that's how she's acting.
Yeah.
And this is where it goes back to your question of, like, why does Mike even like Susan?
Why does he like
what
her?
What about her is so great? Because aside from her being, like... no one can see me, but a stick figure. Like, I was gonna say this big around.
Yeah.
But, like, neurotic, I guess. She probably yeah. is fun in bed. That's all I could fucking think of.
I don't know. It was very disappointing, though. So that's where we end up with Susan and Mike. And all around, we're just feeling disappointed, I think. Of course, we have, let's see, I don't think anything happened with the Apple White, so it's very character-centric. So at the end, we remember that this episode is about dads. So the world is filled with good fathers, is what Mary Alice Young says. They're the ones who are missed so terribly that everything falls apart in their absence. And that's when we see Andrew packing his bags. Mm-hmm. And with a picture of Rex, he's taken a picture of his dad with him. They're the ones who love us long before we've even arrived. And Carlos is, like, rubbing Gabby's not pregnant belly.
Yeah.
They're the ones who come looking for us even when we can't find our way home. And Mike is, like, giving out flyers, but little does he know Zach's on his way to Utah. And then we do get an outro of Lynette crying about her son's imaginary friend getting crushed by the garbage truck.
Yeah, she's like, I'm a horrible mom.
Yeah.
Tom's like, the fuck? Like, yeah. Relax. He's like, yeah, this whole episode, relax. He's standing there like, what is wrong with my family? Like,
yeah. He's like, I don't know. He's like, daddy can supply all the love.
He's out here making... quips. Meanwhile, his wife's having a mental breakdown and his son like, is psychotic.
It wasn't just a cry. It was like an ugly cry.
Sobbing.
Guys. She was sobbing. She was like, you know, when you're like, and you can't like, that's what it was
she
like.
Was so upset.
So Tom's like, he'll get over this. And when you're grown up, you'll laugh at it. And I'm like, dude. All right. So then Mary Alice Young says, the ones that are the best are the ones who make the women in their lives feel like good mothers. Mm-hmm. And then we're to the credits. I don't know. That hit me. We can go into our fuck, marry, kill now.
Really quick.
What?
The French title of this episode was Georges fait de la résistance. George resists. That's what they called this episode in France.
George resists. Okay.
Isn't that interesting that they chose that?
Yeah, they're like, maybe a better title than the dad shit.
And then in German, it was the imaginary friend.
I didn't know they were naming things differently across.
Probably because that doesn't translate and no one there knows. Like,
yeah, my heart belongs to daddy. These people are like, what?
Yeah, I don't fucking know. But I thought that was interesting. They chose those instead yes. of some other father reference.
Dang, okay.
But, yes, so fuck, marry, kill.
You want to go first?
I guess I'd fuck Tom. I'd like Tom in this episode.
No, he was looking, I told you. He
not even looks-wise, I just, I like the way he handled his irrational wife and child. Like, he was like, whatever. Like,
this his imaginary friend and his erotic wife.
Like, he was like the epitome of that dad at a, like, a picnic or at home or whatever, and their kid's going crazy, and they're like, they'll tucker themselves out.
Yeah.
Like, that was literally him about his son. Like, he'll get over it.
He literally understood that it was going to be a phase. Yeah. Like, if your son was 14 and had an imaginary friend, yeah, concerning. Your kid is, like, 6. Chill.
Yes, he just started school.
Okay, so you're going to fuck Tom?
Yes.
Okay.
Maybe I'll marry him.
Gotta think.
Oh, no. Damn. I'm trying to think of... I don't even know... Let me look back at what happened this episode again. I guess I would... I think I'm going to kill Brie because I think she's being fucking stupid. Like, she's so stupid. Like, it's crazy. Dang. I don't know what the deal is when George is around, but she's got blinders on. Like, so extreme. Like, red flag behavior all over the place, sis. Like, I don't understand.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm kind of like, I'm a little tired of it because I think, like, everything in her plot, while it's interesting, is also just her because she's being stupid.
Yeah.
It keeps happening. I'm like, just cut the cord with this guy. He's weird. But... I don't know. And then, maybe I'd marry Tom and fuck the lawyer.
Marry Tom and fuck the lawyer. Yeah. I was thinking that.
Yeah.
But I didn't know if that said something fucked up about me.
I don't know.
Deep inside.
Look, we've already found this podcast that we loved Hugh Grant in that show.
What's it called? I also said I would fuck, marry, and kill Andrew that episode where he was, like, super evil. I was like, yes. I was like, it was so hot.
You like those sociopaths.
It's a flaw of mine, we could say. Yeah, okay. Well, I like that you're going to fuck the lawyer. I thought about it, but I am going to fuck Tom.
Okay.
Looks-wise, and I guess personality-wise.
You're like, I guess.
I liked his rugged look with, like, if you gave him a puka shell necklace, you could have told me he just got back from Hawaii. He was looking really tan.
He looked relaxed.
He looked like he just got a massage on the beach. Like, he had the scruff. I like a scruff. Scruffy mm-hmm. man. So, I would fuck Tom.
Yeah.
I would marry Andrew because, once again, I love his antics. I fully support...
you two would get in so much fucking trouble.
Oh my God, because it just cracks me up. If he were to tell... If I was on a date with future Andrew after this happened, well, I wouldn't be because he's gay. But...
also, he's, like, not fake. Forget. So. Yeah, and he's not... okay. He's a fictional character.
This character and I would never realistically be together. But if we were somehow on a date and he told me that he... imitated his mom climaxing to this dude to fuck with him, I would have thought that was hilarious.
Okay.
So I just see myself, like, I would marry Andrew. I love everything that he does. Maybe not beating, maybe not assaulting people, but... But, you know, I just liked that. So marry Andrew yet again. Always and forever. Marry or fuck. Sometimes kill. And I would kill George because you're annoyed with Brie. I'm annoyed with George.
George, we know, is a sociopath, though. Like,
man can't catch a hint. Man never gives up. And I'm tired of George.
But Brie's not shutting it down, really. Like, yeah. She keeps opening the door. Like,
they're both at fault.
She's, like, not close. Okay, the reason why, I guess, for me, it bothers me about Brie more is because, like, George is pretty much an open sociopath. Like,
yeah, we know.
He doesn't, he doesn't even hide it really to her that much. So, like.
She likes them sociopaths too.
I guess.
Yeah.
She liked Rex, and Rex was a fucking dickhead too, half the time.
Rex was just a bad person.
Yeah.
I would say. Yeah, I would kill George though. I just am annoyed with him. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that brings us to Housewife of the Week. And I hate to say it because her actions were despicable, but I think Susan gets it. Because she manipulated the situation to work out for her. And she's trying to be a good mom to Julie. She's protecting her daughter.
Okay.
But you can nominate somebody else.
No one else is worth nominating.
Really? Yeah, Lynette sucked. Gabby? Lynette. Gabby got a lawyer that hit on her. She fought through uncomfortability.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Maybe I'll give it.
You want Gabby?
I don't feel passionately about it, so I'll give it to Susan.
I feel like Susan did the most fucked up thing to, like, in the name of her family.
Yeah, she did. So, okay. Yeah.
Like, if we break it down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
That brings us to the Apple rating, and I'm unsure where to land on this.
I am too, because, like, it was an enjoyable episode, but there were some flaws, like, big flaws, but... Okay, I think okay. I have my rating, though.
All right, all right. 3.75. Whoa.
3.75?
Oh, that way high? It wasn't in the fours.
No, I'm giving it a 3.
Okay, 3. Damn, you hate this episode.
I just didn't, like I said, it was like a good filler episode, I guess. Dang. So like, it's like average, a C.
Okay, I guess I gave it like a B.
But I guess now this is technically... Yeah,
like an A range would be like 4 out of 5.
Yeah,
like
it was just like very blah to me. I think the storylines could have used a little more movement. Yeah, aside from Susan's, I guess finally got some movement.
Almost yeah, too much I think movement. Susan and Bree like held it up for me.
But like Lynette, I guess, is falling back into that trap of like her episodic adventures. Like she has no real storylines.
Yeah, I want like. An arc again, like I do too. Okay, remember? Okay, and I don't know when this is gonna come back. Like Chom has a secret.
It will come back. They do wait a weird amount of time.
I want to know like what it is.
Like that I looked up when it happens because I was just like
curious.
Yeah, and I was like, damn, they really make you forget. It's almost like they set that shit up in case they ran out of story or something.
Maybe
I don't know, because when they do bring it back, it's almost like. What now? Like, huh? Like, and what sucks is Lynette's storylines do get really good. It's just like these first two seasons, I feel like they just had no idea what to do. I feel like
she had some good ones the last couple episodes. Like, she was kind of killing it. Like, I liked Lynette. I liked her way more this season.
No, I like, okay, yes.
Like, last episode, we were swooning. We were some Lynette stands.
Yeah, I guess I like Lynette. I just wish she had more soapy drama.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's where I get a little bored. Not bored, but I'm just kind of like,
it's like campy, yeah. Her stuff.
Like, I feel like Gabby, Susan, and Brie all have these, like, stretched out stories with, like, some crazy twists and turns. And, like, they're just not really doing that with Lynette.
Yeah. I get it. I feel like it's hard because she's the only working one. And so I feel like that's her differentiator. And, like, they don't know what to do with her.
No, I don't think they do. I think it's easier for them to write her.
They're like, how do we write a working mom?
Yeah. I almost feel like it was easier for them to write her as like a stay-at-home mom.
Yeah. So 3.75 for me, because like I said, Susan and Brie held it up for me. I think Zach returning was awesome. We get that. Andrew having a shining moment always makes me feel alive. I did think George killed, like, the actor, whatever his name is, like, did a great job. But, like, the go to your room was, like, the only hint of dad we had here.
Yeah.
Tom was looking rugged. We get the introduction of the lawyer that I find intriguing at the very least. So, no, it didn't make the 4 range. It's in the 3s for me, 3.75. It was just high because I didn't, although Lynette was, like, very neurotic and crazy and, like, jealous of this imaginary friend. I don't know. I didn't hate it as much as some of her other storylines.
I didn't hate it. I guess I was just like, I don't understand Lynette as a character yet.
Yeah, I'm getting there. I feel season like, 2 is strong for yeah, me, for I, her.
I just feel like they're taking their time to really figure out who she is as a person. Because, like I said, sometimes I feel like they give her cool mom vibes.
Yeah.
But then other times she's a fucking Karen. And this episode was, like, borderline Karen in a way. Like, she was so neurotic about her son having an imaginary friend, which is very normal.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm interested to see where we go with Lynette. I don't hate her. I do hate Susan. Yeah, sad Andrew's going to be away at Camp Hennessy for quite a bit, because I love him, as you guys know. Yeah, let's see what happens. Maybe Paul will return. Applewhite's missing from this episode, duly noted.
It's because they don't know what to do with that.
I mean, like, okay, completely gone. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah, so let us know what you thought. I feel like I'm really torn about this episode, personally. Would love to hear what you guys think. Whether that's on the fuck, marry, kill scale, the Apple rating, or the housewife for you. So, Yeah. Next week, we're going to be watching season 2, episode 5. I believe, what is the title of that one?
They Ask Me Why I Believe in You.
Yes. So we hope it's good for some drama.
I know. It fucking better be.
And yeah, in the meantime, you can follow us, like, subscribe, mm-hmm. listen to everything we've ever put out. Do whatever you'd like. But hope that you're along for the ride if you made it this far. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we'll be here next week and every Monday. We drop on Mondays, and check out our content and before then.
Yep.
And we like to leave you with the words of advice to know your neighbors.
Know your neighbors.